Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. I know you're going to be blessed. We have a special guest tonight along with us. You're going to enjoy it. Give a warm Community Bible Church welcome for Doyle Dykes. Give him a big hand.
Wow, thanks so much. You sure warmed it up in here for me, all right. It's great to be in Michigan tonight. Good to be here. So many good friends around the area. God sure has been good this year. Proclaim it with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. Thank you. How many guitar players are here tonight? If you play guitar, raise your hand. Look at you. Wow. How'd y'all like to be up here playing in front of all these guitar players? And my old guitar, me and Jesus and my old guitar. I love to get along, pick my fingers to the bone. Hope that God is patting his foot on the throne. Me and Jesus and my old guitar, me and Jesus and my old guitar. With these six little strings, I'm gonna do my thing. Me and Jesus and my old guitar. Here we go. And my old guitar, me and Jesus and my Olsen guitar. I love to get along, pick my fingers to the bone. Hope that God is patting his foot on the throne. Me and Jesus and my old guitar, me and Jesus and my old guitar. With these six little strings, I'm gonna do my thing. Me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus and my old guitar. Me and Jesus, me and Jesus, me and Jesus and my old guitar. Here we go. Country fried picking. Yum, yum. Never seen me before. It's your first time ever seeing me. Where have y'all been? For the boys. For the girls. Learn that one, boys. All right. I get that? Batman. All right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to be here all night, I can tell right now. Hills and everywhere, go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Sing, go tell on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere, go tell on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. couple of little mistakes. I hit a couple of clams on that, but I mean, you know, I wish I could play these songs more than once a year. Maybe I should. I know they're beautiful songs. Listen to Chet Atkins and Les Paul, Merle Travis. Of course, Les was more jazz, but Chet Atkins and Merle Travis with finger pickers, and let's do a little Travis style. Tricky. I got a song for Pastor Tom Hampton. How many of y'all guitar players own at least two guitars? Three? Six? I better stop. Y'all are guitar poor like me. Started back in 65, that's when I first realized I wanted to do something for my Lord. Just like my daddy and my Uncle Smitty, I love guitars, they sounded so pretty, and I knew that's just what I was looking for. My first guitar was a Silvertone, wore my fingers to the bone, played so hard my fingers got so sore, oh my. But I knew the guitar was for me, it was bound to be my destiny. Ever since that time I've been guitar poor, guitar poor. Guitar poor, Lord, won't you help me? I'm guitar poor, guitar poor, guitar poor. Lord, have mercy on the guitar poor. I got flat tops, arp tops, steel string, gust string, solid body, hollow body, six string, 12 string, acoustic, electric, resonators, and more. I got cutaways, non-cutaways, overcutaways, flame tops, gold tops, jumbos, dreadnoughts, double offs, triple offs. Man, I'm guitar poor, guitar poor, guitar poor. Lord, won't you help me? I'm guitar poor, guitar poor, guitar poor. Lord, have mercy on the guitar poor. Well, my wife knows me pretty well, I guess. I was mopping the floors and making the beds, and she knew I was up to something for sure. I ran outside to my pickup truck, and when you know it's just my luck, she hollers out, I know you're headed to Motor City. Just one thing I should have grabbed first. That checkbook that was in her purse, she stood there just waving it at the door. I said, come on, honey. Now, baby, please, just give me the checkbook so I can leave. She says, well, how many guitars do you need? And I said, just one more. Guitar poor. Lord, won't you help me? I'm guitar poor. Lord, have mercy on the guitar poor. Let's go. Again. There it is. Guitar poor. Lord, won't you help me? I'm guitar poor. Lord, have mercy on the guitar poor. Mistakes and all. My Lord, I wrote that song last year. I was walking out in the yard, and I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for giving me such a nice place, and place I can walk, and thank you for a nice house. And however, boy, that kitchen, my wife has this kitchen, it's terrible. It's early American Halloween. And I was thinking, Lord, help me to get her a new kitchen. I'm thinking, if I didn't have so many guitars, I could already, I'm guitar poor. And I'm thinking, what? That's a song. Thank you, Lord. My wife says, aren't you ready for lunch? I'm upstairs. I'll be down in a minute. And I wrote that song. Went downstairs and said, listen to this. So I put it on my new record so y'all buy some so I can get her a new kitchen. So that's it. End of the story. On this song, don't you think? Dave, where's Dave? While he's coming up. Dave Bennett. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride it. Now go to FM and play it. That's a Thanksgiving song, but anyway, let's do it. Jingle bells. I want us to all play it and just let him play the hound out of it. Right now. That's what you call getting a little help from your friends. We sure didn't rehearse that, did we?
No, we did not.
We were just about to leave. I said, you know, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle bells. Yeah, I said, we might even do that one. We just did. Dave Bennett, let's give him a hand, David. Thank you. Wow. David Bennett. Thank you so much. What an amazing musician. Wow. You've played before. Let me say something that's been on my heart, especially this past year. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, cast not therefore away your confidence, for it bringeth a great recompense of reward. Don't fling away your fearless confidence, the Bible says in the Guitar Player's edition. The Amplified. Because it will bring you a great reward. You know, sometimes, the older we get sometimes, too, I think I've seen guys that would kind of lose their confidence after a while in their music or their playing or whatever. I see somebody like David. I mean, we didn't know these songs. I mean, we went over a couple of those, and I really messed one of those up. I put us in a completely different key, but that's okay. It's among friends tonight. But he stayed there right with me. He's probably going, oh, these old guys. Anyway. But it's amazing the confidence that he has to get up and play like he just did. I just said, David, come on up here and play. You know, we didn't rehearse that stuff. You know, some of it we played up there before, you know, like the White Christmas and a little bit of that stuff. And we're going like, boy, why do these writers write such tricky songs? Because those are tricky. They change keys all throughout the thing, and wow. But the confidence level that he has, I admire very, very much. And, sometimes we really need to have our confidence boosted, but also we need to sometimes just boost our own confidence, you know. And last year I was in 11 countries. I was all over the world. About a little over a year ago, not much, I was in China. And I'm thinking, what in the world am I doing here? I remember waking up one morning in a hotel before I left for this European tour and then the China tour, and then it was just all over Australia, New Zealand, all over the world. And I'm thinking, wow, I did this in my 40s, I did it in my 50s, but I'm in my 60s. Can I do this? And I had a panic attack. It was real, and I never had that happen to me before. And it was like Pastor Tom, I just said, Lord, can I do this? And I don't, you've known me a long time. You don't hear me say, and God told me, you know what I mean? But he spoke to my heart, and he spoke to me. He says, I wouldn't have arranged it if you couldn't. Just that simple, just a simple little word in my heart. And I said, okay. And I just went back to sleep, and I did my tour. But when I got to China, I'm thinking again, wow, what am I doing in Shanghai, China? I mean, I hope they like me, you know? And I go to this trade show, and it's all millennials, mostly. You know, here I'm the Cracker Barrel crowd, kind of happy about that. I mean, I'm pretty content with that. But I go over there, they're all young people, you know? They're going to like me, you know? And they put me on stage with these rock star guys that were real famous YouTube artists and all this stuff. I'm going, wow. And so then they said, well, Doyle, there's someone that wants you for a magazine interview. I'm going, me? All right. And so I did a magazine interview, and the guy was walking. We were walking out of the interview, and I heard my music. But it wasn't plugged in. It was like. This kid sitting there playing. And he's playing my song. He said, I know Mr. Dixon. I mean, that's a tricky song. I wrote it. I said, I wrote that for my mother. He said, I know, Martha's Kitchen. I'll turn it up so you can hear it. You're good. I couldn't believe it, note for note. I said, where'd you learn how to do that? YouTube. And he said, my father also plays your music, a lot of it. And he's very famous in China. I said, really? And he said, he's coming. I said, really? About this time, here's this man. He just burst through the door. And he just looked at me. And he didn't know how to speak English. He just picked up a guitar. Now, let me describe what they look like. The young guy was kind of cool looking. Had shorter hair. And he had sunglasses on inside, of course. And he had red hair, which you didn't see a lot over there. Just telling you. And especially the color red he had. And so anyway, he was a cool-looking kid, though. And he's the guy playing my music. His father walks in, had hair down to here. Sunglasses, same color hair. They must have had the same bottle of stuff, you know. And so help me, he sat down, didn't speak English. He just took a guitar. And he just looked at me and he goes, this old song that I wrote a long time ago. I can't hardly remember. But I was thinking, he's playing one of my songs that I quit playing because I lost confidence in it. And I lost confidence in myself. And then he goes down. And then he starts playing with, and I mean, he could hardly speak anything at all, but he says, he said, tuning, Jesus, God's favorite chord, Jesus. And he knew that. He knew that God's favorite chord was Jesus. And then I'm thinking, you're not going to play Wabash Cannonball. I grabbed a guitar, took it off the wall. Wabash Cannonball in China, Shanghai. Thank you. Just a little bit of that. I'm thinking, who in the world would have ever thought I'd be playing the Wabash Cannonball in Shanghai, China, with this guy that looked like Ozzy Osbourne with red hair? He does a Chinese version of Ozzy Osbourne. I have him on my phone. I'll show you a picture of it. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing what music can do, and how much that bolstered my confidence level. Next thing you know, man, I just had thousands of kids that came through that trade show, and every time, I mean, they just had hundreds of them that were there. And then throughout the next 10 days, everywhere I went, we just had all these kids. And it's an amazing thing. So I really needed that. Sometimes you have to do that yourself. I started playing when I was just a kid. I was only 11 years old. And that's really when I became a Christian. I have a new album, which is sort of an autobiography of my life in music, is what it is. It's called Life Behind the Guitar. Most people look at the emphasis on guitar, but not me. I look at it as emphasis on life. When I became a Christian, I remember I just knew that this particular Sunday, I was at church and I received Christ in my heart. And I knew in my knower that I was saved. Did you know you can know that? You can know that whether or not you're really a Christian. And I just knew. Something just happened to me. And I said, Lord, give me a job to do. Nobody told me to, but I raised my hands. Give me a job to do. I'll always tell people about you. And it was very soon after that, I felt the urge, you know, it just kind of, he didn't hit me in the head that day like, God, you're going to be a guitar player. Like, wow, I could have had a V8, yeah. You know. And it wasn't a super spiritual thing. I didn't go out in the parking lot and there were camels in between the cars or angels on the roof or something like that. It was, you know, when you say God led me, but he did. It was a gentle persuasion. And so it wasn't long after that, I started playing. God, that's what I want to do. I want to play guitar. And so it was just a few, not like long after that, I was playing in church. My granddaddy was the choir director at our church. I was 11 years old, and that was the first song I ever played. I was your age. And I'm so happy, and I can feel it. My knees were shaking. They thought it was my Elvis impersonation. And so that was my first song I ever played, and I sat down and I played in those keys like David plays in, you know, E flat and A flat and B flat, and all. That's how I learned to do that, you know, in church. And so after church one time we would jam, and this sailor came to my church and he asked my father if he could play his guitar. He said sure, and so and he started. Moved his fingers like this. I'm going, wow, that's incredible. I can't believe that. And anyway, he was a sailor. We always had sailors come to the church, whether it was for God or girls. We didn't know. We didn't care as long as they came. And so he this one played the guitar. And I ran to my mom, can we have that sailor over? His name was Barry Lackey. I don't think he made it here tonight, but it's a long story. I was 13 years old. So he came to my house a couple of days later and showed me. And I practiced that all the time. He didn't know how to write it down. I didn't know how to read it, but I said, Lord, please help me remember. I mean, I would practice it on my pants like da 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 da. You know, and I was such a nerd at school anyway. I'd be walking down the hall and, how you doing, Dolph? Fine, how you doing? I'd draw these six little lines on a piece of paper, and I would do dun da 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 da. In my mind, I was playing that, you know, every day. And I finally got it. And then the eighth grade talent show rolled around and. kid that could do that in the eighth grade would win a talent show. I lost. But, you know, you don't throw away your confidence. You know, I would go home every day, and I'd put on my Chet Atkins records and my Merle Travis, and I'd listen to Les Paul. And I'd practice every day. I was terrible at ball. I couldn't play ball. Nobody ever picked me for their team, ever, ever. I get out there, oh, I got it. Boom, I just get it right in the face. And I was terrible, you know. But I remember ninth grade talent show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, but you know, when you're just a little nerdy kid in a ninth grade, you know, and there were other kids that were so much more popular and everything. I remember these two little twin girls. They were so beautiful. I still remember them. I mean, you know, Rita and Reba. I'm thinking, how popular can you get? One of them was a president of the student body. That was a vice president. One of them was a captain of the cheerleading squad. The other was a co-captain. And they were just so pretty. I'd never even talked to anybody like that. But I didn't let things stop me because I wasn't popular. I just continued to go home, and I'd practice every single day. And I did win that contest, by the way. I just thinking about that. I was in my office the other night, and I looked up and I had a little trophy. You see, on Monday morning, they called. It got on the PA system at school. All over the whole school, Doyle Dykes come down to the front desk. You know, and I went down to the front office, and I said, "I'm Doyle Dykes." I said, "Well, you won." I said, "Won what?" They said, "The talent contest." Well, I didn't know because the dance was on Friday night. And I was at church. I was at YPE, Young People's Endeavor. We are the Young People's Endeavor, and we will fight for Christ. Yeah, so I didn't know it. And he says, "You won." And he slid this little trophy across the desk. And it was, like I said, it's that big, and I still have it. Most talented Doyle Dykes. And it did something to my confidence level. Of course it did. It did something to my confidence level. So throughout high school, you know, I played in a gospel band. And when I graduated high school, I played with J.D. Sumner and the Stamps Quartet. And I wasn't with them very long. It is a long story. But I went back home and married my high school sweetheart. And I did. And And after a couple of years, Rita told me, she said, "You need to..." Okay, I married one of those little twin girls. I finally got the confidence. Boys, don't throw away your confidence. I'm telling you, it'll give you a great reward. 44 years later, four kids, five grandkids. You know what that feels like, too. I mean, for the Lord to bless your life like that. I've been so blessed. And she said, "You need to be playing your music again." So I started playing the guitar with Grandpa Jones. And this is getting away from Christmas. I don't. Is that okay? Okay. Maybe I should play something on this. Maybe I'll do that. It's just my new sort. Anyway, so Doyle Dykes signature model that I've never played before. Okay, I'll play that. This is the first time I've ever played this guitar in front of anybody. Let's see what it sounds like. Chet Atkins. Hey, Let's go to B flat. Thank you. thank you so much. I was just standing there thinking on my brand new guitar. I thought, boy, this is like a Chet Atkins guitar. And I mean, we worked on this a year. I just got it. I'd never played it in front of anybody here. And so I thought, boy, this Chet stuff, I thought, there's an old man on the inside of this kid. These songs are all PD. You know what that means? Public domain. That means they're about 100 years old. But that's amazing. I want us to play, before I leave tonight, I want us to play something else. But just, I want to tell a story tonight. And I've gone so long, there was so many things I was going to do, but that's okay. It doesn't matter. I don't think I'm supposed to. A lot of you have never seen me before. And by the way, we'll do Silent Night before we leave. Is that all right? And it's all right with somebody out there, I tell you. We'll do it in a few minutes. Just give me a little time. I want to tell you a story. My wife and I have been married, like I said, 44 years. We have four kids, Heidi, Holly, and Haley. That was kind of dumb. I mean, you know, it seems really cute at the time. Heidi, Holly, Haley. Heidi, Holly, Haley. Heidi, Holly, Haley. Which one are you? You know, that was last week. Which one are you? What been it? And so, anyway, we've had such a big time with our kids, and now our grandkids are such a blessing. But I was with Grandpa for a while, and I moved back home, and I felt a call to go into ministry, and so I started playing mostly in churches back in 1980, and. I came in off a trip one night. My wife, Rita, met me at the door, and she said, "They're yours. Have fun." So I said, and Heidi was four. Holly was two. And I said, "Y'all want to play?" And so we played to about 2:30 in the morning. Good musician hours, you know. And so I usually told them a story. It was too late, so I just said a little poem prayer with them. And I was going to put them to bed. And so I did. And Holly went to sleep before the end of the prayer. And Heidi was wide awake. Heidi, you need to go to sleep. "Do you think God would bring me something if we ask him? What is it that you'd like to have?" She said, "I'd like to have a rose." And I said, "Okay, well, we'll ask him for a rose." And so we did, and said a little prayer with her and walked out. And I got to thinking about that, and I walked back in. And I said, "Heidi, how come you want a rose so much?" She says, "Because they're so pretty, and I've always wanted one." And I'm thinking, all those years, four. Always wanted one. She's so expressive, and still is, even to this day. And Heidi's all grown up now. She's a nurse anesthetist, which means she puts people to sleep, kind of like I am new. You, I can tell, I can feel that, so I'm going to go through this. And so anyway, the next night at our little time, I told him a story. We started to pray, and Heidi started shaking. A little hand was shaking, and I looked at her, and she had little tears flowing down her face, and little lips were protruding. And I said, "Heidi, what's wrong?" She says, "How come God didn't bring my rose to me today? Do you think he forgot?" "What do you say to a little girl?" You know, it's a God question. And I said, "Well, we didn't mention the color of that rose." I thought it was pretty clever myself. And she said, did he need to know that?" I said, "Maybe he did. We need to be specific." "Well, what does that mean?" Then I had to go through all that, you know. And I said, "Okay." And so then I told her, I said, "You know what? I read a scripture. It says, if two of you shall agree, Jesus said, as touching anything that they shall ask, if you shall agree on earth, as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven." And she says, "Well, I agree." It was childlike faith. She just said that quote, "I agree." And she said, "I was thinking of a white one, a white rose." And I couldn't hardly, I mean, I was, I, you couldn't hardly find white roses. You couldn't go down to Safeway. What do y'all have here? Safeway? What do y'all have? Kroger. You know, and we have like Publix down there, but same thing. You don't, you know, you can now, but in 1980, you couldn't just go to Kroger and find a white rose. Really, it was hard. So I couldn't hardly sleep, and I got up the next morning. I thought of calling the floor so I could call a friend to drop one by, you know, in case he didn't. Don't look at me like that. Everybody thinks of plan B. And so I didn't tell a soul. I didn't tell my wife, Rita. I didn't tell anybody. And I went to this little church, and it was smaller than this. It was a very small place. And they had a single aisle and two little sections like this, but it was just a real tiny little place. And it was a Wednesday night, and I played my heart out, but I'd never been there before. And the pastor said, well, Doyle, join us for refreshments at the parsonage. That's where they lived, in the house next door. And I said, okay. And I'll put my guitars up, and I'll be there in a few minutes. And everyone had left. No one was in the building. And the back door just sort of burst open, and this little lady walked in. Are you Doyle Dykes? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, God told me to bring you something from my garden today. I said, really? And she had this little slender tin aluminum foil. We used to call it tin foil back then. Probably was tin back then. Yeah. Probably didn't have aluminum. But anyway, but she had this little small package, aluminum foil, and she walked up to me, and she said, but she kept repeating herself, I was in my garden. God told me to bring this to Brother Dykes. Are you Brother Dykes? I said, yes, ma'am. And I could tell she was special. She was like autistic. And so I put my guitar down, and I said, well, I'll enjoy eating this from your garden. She says, I wouldn't eat that. And I remember she had these thick glasses on. And she says, I wouldn't eat it. You better look at it. And she stood there looking at me. And I said, okay. And I peeled open that little package, and there was one little white rose. And I looked at her, and I'm thinking of all the people here. I don't know that I would have chosen her. And here I am, just she and I. And I got all teared up, and I said, actually, and I felt so ashamed of myself. I said, this isn't mine. She says, well, God told me to bring you that, Brother Dykes. And I said, yes, ma'am. And I told her the story of the prayer and the rose that Heidi, my daughter, she said, well, that's nice. And she just sort of started walking out like this. And I'm thinking, she's an angel. She's going to float any second. But she didn't. I got the rose home to Heidi the next day. Same little package, kept it in water all night. Got home the next day. She ran out to the truck. Good to have you home, Daddy. And she got up in my seat, and I reach over. I said, it's a present for you, Heidi. She's like in my face, you know. She said, for me? And she looked at it. She says, it's my rose, isn't it? And she opens it up, and she says, and it's white. And she ran in the house. She got so excited. Her little eyes just lit up. I still hear a little shrill voice sometimes. I wrote a song. I didn't tell that. I told Brother the Pastor Tom last night. And you know, I didn't tell that story for a long, long time. For a long time. And I wrote a song. Thank you. So as earlier in the year, and I was scheduled to be at this these business people in Florida, and to make a long story short, they canceled because of some reasons that they had, and they said, but we want to pay your cancellation fee. And I said, well, didn't you want me to play at your church? And they said, well, yes, we would love for you to do that. And I said, well, that's fine for me if you want to do that, and you just, that'd be great, and to handle my expenses, and I'll get in there and play for your church. And then they said, well, call this person, and it was there. And they weren't very nice. In fact, I felt put down about the whole thing. And I've been doing this over 40 years, you know. And, well, are you a contemporary worship leader? No, not exactly. And, well, we see here that you've worked with Chris Tomlin and Paul Balazs and all these things. I said, yes, and I have. Probably some of the most popular ones in the world. Well, if you've done that, how come you can't? You're not. I said, why would they have you? I says, because I don't do that. They wanted somebody different. That's, you know. I said, just go to YouTube. I thought that's what they do in China, but I didn't say that. I was trying to be very nice, but I said that. Well, it's Palm Sunday, and I'll call you back. And I said, well, look at my site, and I have a lot of people that recommend me and all of that. So they call back. Well, we just don't think we want to do that, okay? And so I could have said, well, nobody wants me anymore. I'm getting old now, you know. My hair's turned to silver. Nobody wants me. And I walked out to the back and made me a cup of coffee and just sat there. And I said, instead of getting in the mully grubs and all that kind of stuff over it and getting mad or getting upset or down, I just said, Lord, you must have a better plan. You see, sometimes the Lord sends a Chinese boy and his red-haired dad to come along, you know, and play in Martha's Kitchen, a song I wrote for my mother who'll be 90 in a few days. You know, and then sometimes you just have to get in a back room somewhere or somewhere alone and just build up your holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Sometimes you just have to. Paul told Timothy like this. He said, Timmy, I can just imagine. He was like a little protege of his. He was like a youth pastor. Timothy, let me tell you something. He said, there is a faith on the inside of you. I want to remind you of this, son. Your mama had it. Your grandma had it. Lois and Eunice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and I am convinced, I feel something here tonight. He says, I am convinced that you have this gift on the inside of you. That is why I would remind you to stir it up. Sometimes we have to stir up this gift. We've had it for a long time, yeah, but sometimes it can get dormant, or you can get so depressed about, or people put you down. The one thing that the enemy, can I say it like that? Satan wants to do is to destroy our confidence. And he said, I would remind you to stir up the gift. Stir it up. Fan the flame, the Amplified Bible says. Rekindle the embers. Fan the flame of the inner fire that is on the inside of you. For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, of craving and cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind. And Amplified says, full and disciplined and with self-control. That's a good thing for guys to know. You can have discipline and self-control. That's what God's given us. And then he says, don't be ashamed to testify for the Lord. That's the next thing he said. So, anyway, sometimes we have to just get by ourselves and just do that. God must have a better plan. And so I got on the phone and I just happened to think of this guy at a denominational that was way back that I've worked with. And they said, if you ever need anything, just call us. I said, do we still have a church in DeLand, Florida? That's where the White Rose thing took place. And he said, yes. Would you like to go there? I said, well, I don't know if they remember me, but Oh, well, that church has changed a lot, and they've moved, and it's not the same as it used to be. Oh, okay. But I'll call them. I got about 10 minutes later, I got a call from the pastor who said, Doyle, we'd love to have you on Palm Sunday. I said, really? In fact, he said, yes, please come. And so he scheduled me, and I said, well, I got a businessman that's paying my way down there. You don't even have to give me anything. And they said, really? And I told them that if they would come to church, if they'd come to, and they said they would. And they did. And I go to this big church. And it's a huge church. It's not that same little place. It's huge. And it had a big choir. And I'm setting up my amplifier over here, and they're rehearsing, and it was Palm Sunday. And he said, you have 45 minutes. Okay. And I was going to the back to talk to the sound man, and all of a sudden this little lady just kind of bumped into us, and I said, who is that? Who's that lady? And then he says, well, her name is Sue. I said, and she just kind of walked out of sight. And I said, has she been coming to this church long? All of her life. I said, was she in that other little church? He said, yes. I said, and he looked at me and said, Doyle, I'm a guitar player. There's a few of us know your story with the White Rose. I said, is that her? He said, yes. I never thought I'd ever see her again. 37 years ago. She's in her 70s. Her parents passed away years ago. She's been living in the same little one-bedroom, little cinder block wall. Just as happy. Still has those thick glasses. She walked up to me, and I was playing this guitar. It was a gift to me because this man read my book, and it was built around that story. I have a lot of stories like this that are just, wow, how'd that work like that? It had to be God, one of those things. And this man, and the most highly revered guitar builder of this sort in the world, and Pastor Tom would tell you this is the truth. And he said, Doyle, I read your book, and he says, I'm going to build you a cutaway. And I don't know if you know this or not, but he said, this one is on me, $20,000 guitar. And he said, it's got to have a white rose on it because of that. And I'm standing there, and this little lady says, I want a picture of you and me and that guitar with the rose on it. I said, yes, ma'am. And the person's about to take the photo. I said, Sue. And I had her, no, the people in that church didn't know the story. I told the story, had her stand up. Nobody ever paid her any attention. They have ever since. She's the white rose lady. We took a picture of that. I said, hey, Sue, I wrote a book. And she says, well, I can't read. She was just like I remembered her. I said, well, I have an audio version. Okay. I got in the car and I called my daughter, who was in New York City with her family on vacation. I sent her a picture. I said, you're never going to believe who this is. My daughters, I mean, this happened before Haley, my youngest daughter, had traveled with me for years. It happened before she was even born. She lost her breath. She says, we've heard of her all of our lives. I told that story last year in China to people that have never heard of a story of a Heavenly Father that loved them and cared for them. And so anyway, here I am, and I tell Hyde, she said, she started crying, Dad, I'd give anything if I could have been there. I said, well, you're going to meet her. And about 3 weeks later, I took her down to meet the White Rose lady. And we went to Publix, and she did get a White Rose at Publix, by the way. And I have a picture of her standing there giving her a White Rose and giving her the hug, and then she just started crying. And she gets her early morning Saturday call every week from Sue, who stays with her now. She says, Dad, she's like part of our family. And I told the pastor this last night. I said, Heidi called me not long ago. They do well. She's been blessed. But they wanted this new house, and they sold their other one. They thought, then it didn't sell. She calls me up. She said, Dad, I'm worried. I don't know what to do. Our house didn't sell. That fell through. I said, what are you calling me for? You have Sue, the White Rose lady. She said, you're right. She called her that day. She called me a week later. Said, Dad, remember I told you I was going to call Sue? She said, I told her, Sue, pray our house to sell. When's your birthday? She said, August 31st. She said, God told me it's going to sell on your birthday. She told me, she says, Dad, we're closing on my birthday. And they did. They did. I know that's a crazy story, but that happened. And it happened to us. And you know what? It happened because of a cancellation. It happened out of a negative thing. I could have said, well, I'm getting paid anyway. I'll just stay home. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. I'm preaching now, and I'm going to close. I promise I'll close in a second. Confidence means con with fideo, faith. With faith. It's not an alone faith. I know what I can do with this guitar. I've been all over the world doing this. I know what I can do with this. But this is, to me, is five loaves and two fishes. When I join this with faith, with his faith. It's not an alone faith. It's a with faith. And I join this with him. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. When you join your gift with his, it's no longer just you. There's no limit to what God can do. Dust the dust off of your gift. Get back out there and use it. Who discourages you? Who cares? Who cares who puts you down when it's Jesus who's lifting you up? Amen. We have an intercessor, an advocate with the Father. You didn't know I could preach, did you? Changed my mind. You know that. May we all have confidence, the confidence of David Bennett. Amen.
What a beautiful day. Thank you, brother. What a beautiful day.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Tom. I love you and Debbie. It's great to be back with you. Thank you so much.
Doyle Dykes, Dave Bennett. How about it, huh? Wow. Wow. Woo.
All right, before we walk out in just a few moments, Doyle's put together a package, three CDs, $30, including the new album, Life Behind the Guitar. You can't leave without one of these, okay? Come on. And also, Dave Bennett's new album, Blood Moon, that hit the charts this week on Billboard. We're looking really forward. We think this should be the Grammy nomination this year. So Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all of you. We hope this jump started something for you this year. And God bless you this year. We're so proud to have you all here tonight. And we hope you have a safe trip home. God bless you for coming out. And have a good night. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.